playing quietly in the corner, like that ever happens. And you're just like relaxed. And then out of nowhere, someone knocks on your door. The audacity. And you stand up and you're like, who could it be that is knocking at my door? Because the first thing you do is you go, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, we're all here. What's going on? Who could be knocking at my door? You stand up and you think to yourself, like, who in their right mind would be knocking on my door? And you walk to the door and you unlock the door, click, pull all the bolts across, and you, look it out, squinting in your eyes, like, who are you? And what are you doing here? You ever done that? You ever been in that position where you're like, oh, who could be at my door? I remember when I was a little kid, if someone knocked at the door, and this happened more than once in my own home, if someone knocked at the door, you go running to the door. This is an exciting moment. Nowadays, it's like one comedian says, like, get the sword. It's under the couch. Army crawl, grandma, army crawl. I remember when I was a little kid, when someone would knock on the door, and I was home alone, I'd probably be about 14, so not too old. I'd go to the door, and there'd be people with their bags packed, standing there at the door with bags beside them. I've never met these people, never seen them before. I have no idea who they are, but it looks like they're showing up first day. And on more than one occasion, I would open the door, and they'd be like, hey, your parents sent us over. We're staying the night. All right, come on in. And so that's the kind of home I grew up in, where the door was always open and everybody was always welcome. Now, some things have changed in our world and in our life, and that's okay. Some of it's good and some of it's not so good. But this morning, I want to talk to you about what it means to be a light in your neighborhood. Because I find that, and this is something that I personally find sometimes, I can be quite selfish with the light that I have been given. I can be quite selfish with the blessing that Christ has given me. Because it's really easy to be selfish with something so awesome, isn't it? I think, and to not berate you, I actually want to encourage you, because, like, if someone gave you $1 million and you're selfish with it, I think everybody would understand. You got $1 million, I get it. They'd want you to be generous with it, like, because they want to be selfish with your generosity. But regardless, like, you know, we've been given so much. We've been given an inheritance that is literally, like, there is no number that you can put on it. And I can understand why we sometimes, in our own way, in our own world, we can be a little selfish with that. Because we're like, I love it so much, I want to keep it to myself. Because it is an amazing gift. And that gift, of course, is salvation. It is the most exciting gift we have ever been given in our lives. And so I can actually understand sometimes why we're selfish with it, because it's like really awesome. Like, there's a lot of really cool things that go along with salvation. Am I wrong? So that you got this amazing, amazing thing in your hands, and you just want to, like, no, I'll just keep it to myself, thanks. It's pretty cool. I don't want it to get dirty. Well, I want to welcome you. If it's your first time here at Christian Life Fellowship, my name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at CLF. And this morning, we're going to be talking a little bit about this lights, be a light in your neighborhood. And the reason we're talking about it specifically is because of the encouragement that we're putting towards you for this Halloween, October 31st, whatever you want to call it, Harvest Day, whatever you want to call it. We want to encourage you to be a light in your community, in your local communities, in your areas, in your homes. And I want to just, I want to extend this right from the start. I'm not suggesting that you must participate in Halloween. So if you go away and you mention to somebody else, and if you're the person that person is mentioning to you, saying, I can't believe he told me we should participate in Halloween, I want you to say to them, that's not what he said. Because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that all things can be turned for the good of those who believe. So how do we take what's already going on in the world, around us, in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our communities, and plant the light of Christ? And so I'm not saying you have to get dressed up. I'm not saying you have to trick or treat. I'm not even saying you have to hand out candy. I'm not saying you have to participate in any way, shape, or form, even on this day, because that's not my job to tell you what to do. It's God's job to convict your heart of where you can and should serve. But I would encourage you that regardless of it's this day or another day, it's a really good thing to do, is be a light in your neighborhood. It means talking to your neighbors, visiting with your neighbors, inviting them over for coffee, and just loving them because they're worthy. For no other reason that Christ died for them like he died for you, they're worthy. You know, I often think of the world and what's going on today, and I ask this question, you know, God, like, where are you? Like, where are you in all of this, God? Like, I can't seem to see you in this, like, craziness that is the existence that we live in. Do you know what I mean? And then sometimes I'm just like, oh, God, like, I mean, I see this situation. I'm like, God, where are you in that situation? And, you know, and I look over here and I'm like, God, where are you in that situation? And I have a trouble seeing God sometimes in these situations. I don't know. I'm sure I'm not the only one that finds that. I'm sure some of you think very similar to me. And you would say, like, I don't see God in our city at all. I don't see God where we are at all. I don't see God in those places, in those locations, and so on and so forth. Now, I would say this, and it's a challenge to myself. Jesus has told us that you and I are the light of the world. So if you wonder where God is in those situations, look for the Christians who are influencing those places. I think of Lorraine Chatwin, who goes and prays, and Lorraine doesn't know I'm saying this, but she's an amazing woman of God who goes downtown and prays over our local town, say town hall, city hall. She goes every week and prays over City Hall. Prays that they make wise decisions. Prays that they do God-honoring things. That's a light in our community. And that's where God is. Because where we go, God goes with us. When we go somewhere, we don't go alone. We go with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. So the question is, when we think of days like October 31st, which is often referred to as like a death day, because that's what some of its historical roots come out of. I often ask the question, and I do this for a lot of things, and I ask a lot of questions. So if you hear me say I often ask a question, it's because I actually ask a lot of questions. I think questions are the only way to learn, is asking lots of questions. I ask the question, does the devil deserve a day? Well, I think the answer is quite simply no. I don't think he does. Should Christians be influential regardless of what's going on culturally? Well, I think that's pretty obvious. I think we should be. Do we have to participate in what goes on culturally to be influential? Well, no, I don't think that's true. I actually think we can influence without actually participating. Do we as Christians have to be in those places to be the influence? I think the question is quite simple. The answer is quite simple. Yes, we do. And so in no way am I suggesting that you have to do Halloween. But I am suggesting that Jesus Christ has placed inside of you the hope and salvation of the world for you to share with your neighbors and your community. It's one of the reasons we started Christian Life Children's Center here, is because we saw an opportunity to bless the children of our community, to reach out a hand of love and grace and mercy in hopes that one day they meet Jesus. And we actually have a few people here who work at our children's center, and the awesome opportunity they have to be in that place and in that moment. Now, if we ask the same question of something like October 31st to something like our children's center, we'd be like, oh yeah, you should do it. But we often wrestle with these other areas because of what is perceived about them, rather than what God can do that is greater than what everyone else is doing. So this morning, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a light to your neighborhood, and we're going to be using Jesus because he's pretty fantastic, right? Who agrees Jesus is pretty fantastic? So we're going to go into Matthew 5, and this is our key verse for everything that we're doing with doors open and lights on. For those who don't know, I'll just give you a quick explanation. What we're encouraging you to do is simply this. Turn all the lights on in your home and be ready and willing to welcome your neighborhood to your door. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I don't have anybody come to my door. I live out X place. Totally understand. It's all situational. There's always, of course, no kids come to my door. Well, then, you know, I understand you don't necessarily need to participate in this. But if you live in an area where you find lots of kids come through, what we want to encourage you to do is to not be a part of Halloween, but be a part of your community. Because this is what the community is doing. And be the light to your neighbors just by being there. It's amazing how much we can do when we enter a room with Christ inside of us, how much that will change what's going on inside of that room. And Jesus is about to explain that to us a little bit more. So let's read together. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give it light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and deeds, and your Father, and glorify your Father in heaven. All right, so let's talk this through a little bit here. So you are the salt of the earth. Now, so Jesus, a little context on what's going on here. So this is in what's called the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus, he was going out and he just started his ministry and people were following him. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was speaking with all authority. People would say to him, like, where does this authority that you have come from? And so people from all over the area just kept coming after Jesus and following him and going with him and going anywhere he was going. And here you can see, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's just got this huge crowd and he's like, well, I guess I'm going to teach right here. So he goes up on the mountain so he can be heard, and he starts to preach. And people sit down and listen. So here we have Jesus. People are just, they're flocking to him because he has good news. Because he has authority and power over this world. And they're flocking to him because this man, like, there's something about him that I have to have. And so here, Jesus is telling them very simple truths. So he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now salt, we often think about, or maybe think about in this way. Salt is used as like curing agents, like to cure meats. You would use salt to preserve things. In this specific location where he's talking, they actually would have gotten their salt from one of the local lakes. And so it actually would kind of like come out of the local lakes there. And as it would rain and as it would pour, what would happen is the salt on the outside would become very similar to the rock salt that we use when we're de-icing our driveways. It's saltless and it's tasteless. It's basically good for nothing. So when he says it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot, what he's talking about is they would used to take that salt that was no longer good, and they would actually throw it on the roads, just like we do today. And they would use it as grit on the roads to help people walk and traverse. Because as, I'm not sure if you remember the last time I preached, I explained there's quite height differences in Israel and Jerusalem. The whole area, there's up mountains and down mountains. So there's lots of areas they can use things like salt for stuff like cleaning the roads. And with this salt, once it's lost its ability, it's been sunbaked, it's been washed in water, it's never going to become salty again. And so the stuff on the inside that's the closest to the rock would often be the best salt. And so they would break off all the outside stuff and they would take what was on the inside and then they would use that for pure, doing meats and stuff like curing meats and foods and flavoring dishes. Now, salt is also used as a flavoring, right? I mean, most, and I make this joke haphazardly, most Dutch people here would be like, salt, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I grew up with a whole bunch of Dutch people, and most people, they would sit with my wife's grandfather would sit with a plate and a salt shaker in his hand. And that was his salt shaker. You don't touch that salt shaker. And it's used for flavoring. Now, how does that apply to us today? We are the salt of the earth. One way that you can think about that is truly we are the spice of life. No, that's a bad joke, sorry. We are that which makes things better. We are that which makes things better. There's also in the Old Testament a process called the Salt Covenant. Salt Covenant was a very interesting covenant. It was between two parties that were making peace. Salt, of course, because a lot of times you would see in warring factions, once they would beat somebody else, they would salt the field so that it would no longer grow anything. And so a salt covenant was also a pact of preserving. It was a very, very expensive thing to have. It was very useful. So they make a salt covenant. And it was that of friendship and that of like love and care. Like a salt covenant is one of the highest covenants you can make with someone else. And I wonder when Jesus is talking, if he takes all these little idiosyncrasies. And I mean, he probably totally did. He took into account things like the salt covenant. Because he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. I have made an eternal covenant with you, or I will make an eternal covenant with you through my son, Jesus Christ. That is about friendship and about love. And part of that covenant is that you flavor those around you with his grace and mercy and his love. That you literally be that which everybody needs. That you be what everybody needs. Salt is also used for antiseptic, for cleaning out wounds. If you ever grew up on the West Coast, and anytime you get a cut on the ocean when you're digging for clams and mussels, my mom would always say, hey, just stick it in salt water. It'll be nice and clean by the time you pull it out. Because salt leaves nothing behind. The salt water cleans out the wound and destroys the bacteria that's growing. It was, of course, we have better things nowadays, but in that time, salt would have been used as a way to make sure to clean and preserve wounds and bandage people. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. Not only are you to flavor those around you, you are there to heal people. Amen. Of what's going on inside them. That's right. You are there to be antiseptic. It's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But you are there to be a cleaner. And of course, we know if you ever put salt on a wound, it doesn't always feel good. Those of you who are laughing because you know, pour a little salt on it. It's like, ooh. But we have been made a covenant people through Jesus Christ so that we can flavor those around us and we can be that which brings the hope and future that can cleanse their soul. Isn't that amazing? And of course, Jesus says, you know, But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You know, I think it's a lot to do with locational, geographic things. The Bible has a lot of geographic references because people would understand that, oh, he's talking about how that salt that we get off there that's no good, we just end up throwing it on the ground. I'm not saying that if you don't do anything with the salt you've been given, it's going to go bad. But if God is the one who gives us what we have, Jesus is the one who gives us what we have, we know that. And our job is to flavor those around us. Remember how at the start of the sermon, at the start of this talk, I was mentioning that sometimes I think we covet that which we've been given. Like we're kind of like, I don't want to give it away. Because what if it doesn't get replaced? It's a really good gift. I just like to keep it to myself. When we take that which Christ has given us and we spread it freely to those around us, he never lets that gift run dry. He never lets that which he's already given you go away. So I want to encourage you guys. The Bible says to give out of what you have, and more will be given to you. It doesn't mean that, I think sometimes we think hierarchy. So, and for some of us, it's like, I already got enough to do. I don't need more to do. But I think what it means is as we empty ourselves for those around us, God will refill us so that we can be sustained. It doesn't mean necessarily we'll get more responsibility, but it does mean Christ will continually fill us. And then he says that you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. I find that very interesting because Jesus himself said, and Jesus spoke to them. So this is during one of the major feasts. Jesus is talking. He stands up and he says, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So now, this is what Jesus says, and this is the truth, that he is the light of the world. And yet, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Because of what Jesus Christ has given us, the hope of salvation that we have through his death and resurrection on the cross, he's actually given us the light of the world, which is himself to us. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, what happens is Jesus actually comes and he lives inside of us. And I know if maybe this is your first time in church and you don't really understand what I'm saying, I know it's maybe can be a little hard to understand, and I'd love to explain it to you a little bit better. Please come find me after. I'd love to chat with you about that. But what happens is when we accept Christ into our lives and into our hearts, we become changed forever. And he comes and he cleanses our souls, he cleanses our hearts, and then he lives there. And then because Christ now lives inside of us, we now reflect the light that is within us. Because as Pastor Blair was speaking last week about spirit, body, and man, how our spirit longs to connect with Christ and longs to look like Christ. And until we become Christians, our spirit cannot be fully known until we know Christ, because it's dead until we know Christ. And then once we become alive in Jesus, we become new creations. Something inside us is birthed, and Christ comes to live inside of us, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. If you missed that sermon last week, you can find it on our website. I encourage you to watch it. It's fantastic. And here's the unfortunate truth. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives life to everyone. It gives light to everybody in the house. I think Jesus always adds these things in because he wants to remind you that you have a choice in this. Our God is not autocratic, meaning that he is not a dictator sitting on a throne demanding of you things. He is a relational being, and he is here to have relationship with you. He's here to have friendship with you. And part of that is you get to choose how you use your light that he's given you. You can either choose to accept the excitement and the joy and all the amazing things that go along with it, or you can choose to hide it under a bowl. That's our choice. Some people say, well, no, I've drilled a few holes in the bowl. There's a couple. It's letting out a little light. And that's awesome. Because at least you're trying to drill holes in the bowl. You're halfway there. Christ has asked us to be a light on a hill. To be a beacon of hope. One of the things I often think about when I think of like October 31st is a good example. Like we're talking about. Is that it all happens at night when it's dark. And it can be scary, right? Because darkness often brings fear. Darkness is often, even in Scripture, is represented as fear. Darkness or fear can often be intertwined together. But we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world because of what Christ has put inside of us. Ephesians 1:22 says, everything, all things, have been put underneath the feet of Christ. There is nothing that is not underneath the feet of Christ. And Christ lives in us. So if Christ lives in us, and everything's been put under his feet, I'll let you draw the lines. You see, we have a choice. In all things, Christ is kind. He is good, and he is right, and he is just. And he wants you to want to do it. One of the biggest changes in my own mind over the last 6 months is changing my mindset, and I've preached on it before, but I'm going to say it again because I really think it's true and valid, which is simply this, is that I don't have to do the will of Christ. I get to do the will of Christ. You know, I'll share it this way. I do some of the maintenance here around the building. So if something breaks, generally someone knocks on my door and I go fix it. And it used to be really hard for me because it's like it takes me away from my work. And then it dawned on me, we have over 200 kids in this building. Daniel told me that last week we had 130 kids come to our church programs. 130 individual kids come to our church programs last week, just this last week. Just let that sink in. We have about 230 kids who come during the day. So in this last weekend, you know, a few overlaps here and there, we serviced under 18, we had over 300 kids in this building. And I realized something. That's fantastic when things break. Because it means it's getting used. And I get to fix it because there's so many kids here that things break. What an amazing problem. And I just realized that I get to do the maintenance here. I get to be a part of this. And I get to be a piece in this puzzle that could possibly lead to one of these kids giving their life to Christ and having eternity in heaven. I get to be a part of that. I don't have to. I get to. One of the things that we run during the week is called Dine and Dash. Actually, it's coming up, not this week, but the following week from now. We're entering into our third year, and all it is that we love our Children's Center families, most of whom don't go to church. We just go love them, and we feed them, and we sit down with them, and we talk with them. This last time we did it was the first time in 3 years, because now I have relationship and friendship, because I have served them for over 2 years. Sitting down and feeding them, shaking their hand, looking them in the eye. This is the first time where I had the conversation and got to tell them my testimony. But it took 2.5 years, almost 3 years, of serving them first. And I got to share who Jesus is to me. And all it was me saying, you know what? I'm going to put my light up as a beacon on the hill. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to say, well, it could be like this or it could be like that. I'm just going to do it. Because that light will draw people in. Because they need to know, why is it so bright? In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm putting on hard and heavy because I really want you to take part in this October 31st thing, and I'm sure you guys have caught on to that. But there's a reason I'm really heavily encouraging you to take part in serving and loving your community. And it's simply put, it's this. We don't do this for us. We do this to glorify our Father in heaven. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our Father in heaven. It's about people who don't know Christ. That's what it's about. It's about people who are going to a place where there is no return. That's what it's about. So let's let our light shine. Like, we have an opportunity, taking all what we just talked about. Let's talk about the opportunity we have coming up in just a short few days. We have an opportunity to stand at the door and silently pray for every single children that come to the door. We have an opportunity to bless them with something they might not even know they need. We have an opportunity to reach out a hand of love and say, you know what? You are worthy. You are perfect in God's eyes. You are amazing. You are loved. You are cared about. You're worthy. You have an identity that is seated in heavenly places if you would only take that which is Jesus' hand, which is outstretched for you. You have a place. You have a purpose. You are loved. So as much as we talk about these days, and it can often be quite divisive when we talk about times like October 31st, we actually planned that I would get to talk on it before we did it, because we wanted to challenge you to say, we don't want you to celebrate Halloween. We don't necessarily want you to. What we want you to do is be a light to your neighbors. And why not take the opportunity that we have, because they're already coming to our doors. Why not just go, wait a minute, hold on a second. They're already walking up to my door. I don't have to create an event. I don't have to make a block party for this. They're going to walk to my door and knock on it, regardless if the lights are on or off. So I can either choose to ignore them and sit in silence in the back, which, you know, I think we've all done it sometimes, especially when you don't buy candy. Ooh, you know, we've all been there. We didn't buy candy. Shut the lights off. Shut the lights off. But we have an opportunity not to participate in all the darkness, but to be the light in our neighborhoods. That's what this opportunity is. To be Jesus. And who is Jesus often found around? Really messy people. People whose lives were not together. People whose lives were very, like, not great. Like, on the cross, as he's dying, he says to a criminal who's being crucified beside him, hey, you know what? Even though I'm dying too, you're worthy. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's happened. You are worthy because you want me. Isn't that amazing? That even in his last moments, in his last breath, he took an opportunity to say, no, no, I love you. I love you. That's who we want to emulate. That's who we want to become. And so, we have these. You don't have to use them. You can do whatever you want. This is just a tool if you choose to use it. There's some at the back. It's a little thing that just says, wishing you have a safe, happy and safe evening. Just a little card. You can wrap it in candy, put a little elastic on it, and drop it in a box. Thank you very much. On the back, it has places for people to connect to the church. A couple other things you can do is buy some hot chocolate. Go serve the parents. Stand outside for a bit. Hot dogs. I know some people want to do hot dogs. You can also do nothing. And there's no shame in that. But find something to do for your neighbors. If you don't want to participate and your personal conscience says, no, I just can't participate in anything Halloween, that's all good. I totally understand. In fact, I would encourage you, if you've really asked the Holy Spirit and you really feel that's important to your heart, that you don't do it. Because God has spoken to you clearly, obviously. And I would listen to that. But find a way to be a light in your neighborhood. If it's not now, I don't care. Do whatever. Go over and knock on a door. Take a pie to your neighbor. Take some cookies to your neighbor. Nowadays, if you take them over, they're un-gluten-free, dairy-free. I got some shaking heads here going on. Find a way to love your neighbors. Find a way to love them where they're at. And they're going to be at your door on Wednesday. So why not find a way to love them while they're at your door? So if you want to take these and hand them out, I encourage you to. It's going to be fun. On there we have the website, which is, I'd encourage you to take a look. It's just a little bit about us, kind of who we are. It's just a way for people to see that we love them. So if you want to take a look at it beforehand, go ahead. But I want to leave you guys with this. Wouldn't it be nice if Christians were known for what they love rather than what they hate? Wouldn't it be fun if we were known for who we love rather than who we hate? We have an opportunity to give out of that which was given, to love out of how God loved us first. We have an opportunity to just care and be a safe place in our community. So we're going to pray. And I want to, I'll invite up the worship team as we're praying. God, we just thank you that in all things, you've given us life. That in all things you've given us hope. That there is none beside you. There is none like you. Lord, we just thank you that your love endures forever. God, we ask in this moment that you would give us strength and wisdom to know how to reach out to our neighbors, Give us strength, wisdom to know when to reach out to our neighbors. Give us strength and wisdom to see what you're doing, when you're doing it, so that we can be there to do it alongside of you. Lord, we thank you that in all things, you're with us. Amen. I asked a question at the start. God, where are you? I think the answer is pretty simple. But I'm going to say it anyways. We often ask, God, where are you? He says, I am the light of the world. So now that you are the light of the world, you are my city on a hill. So when we ask God, where are you? We need to first ask, God, where are you placing me? God, where do you want me so that I can let my light shine to those around? What do you want from me so that I can have a positive effect over my neighbors? God, how do you want me to love those who are seemingly unlovable? God, where are you placing me to be a light to this world? Amen? Everybody's looking at me like, uh-oh, I don't like this. That's okay. We're going to worship. I encourage you guys to stand up and let's respond to what God is saying in our hearts.